Oh, there it is. Okay. Good. Well, good morning again. Those that might be listening in on the radio or tuning in on the internet, we welcome you to First Baptist Church in Clearfield. Pastor Matt could not be with us this morning. And so how many of you like to get personalized letters? When I was 19, 20, 21, I met this cute girl in college, and she was from California, and we had to communicate via snail mail. So she is my wife now. So it worked out. I guess the snail mail wasn't that bad. But you know what? I feel bad for you youngsters that you miss out on those glorious letters. Snapchat and text messaging just can't quite get the gist of a long letter that we enjoyed. So maybe someday you'll get to enjoy that, but it worked out for us. So what if you received a letter from someone you never met? Or maybe you had to write a letter to somebody that you never met. That could be challenging. Now, sometimes we get letters from the IRS and insurance and things like that we don't want to get. But we're talking about personalized letters here, and sometimes that can be challenging. But I want you to open up your Bibles to the book of Romans. In the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then we get to the letter to the Romans. So as you're opening there, a couple things that I hope to achieve today. You know, sometimes Bible study is challenging, and it's hard to open up the Bible and get things out of it. And some people shy away from Bible study because they read it and they're just like, I just don't understand this. So part of the challenge I want to do today is to not only challenge us individually, but also give us a start in the book of Romans in reading that. And didn't have a lot of time to prepare for this. So we are doing a men's Bible study Thursday night. And I told Matt, I said, Matt, I think I can springboard off of this study and share some things from Romans this morning. So that's why we're here. So while you're settling in there, the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans. And he wrote this letter to these Christians. And this was around his third missionary journey, which was later in his life. So one of the questions that we need to ask when we're opening up Scripture, especially letters and epistles like this, is why did the writer write the letter? So why did Paul spend this time to write it? This is actually one of the longer letters that he wrote. Corinthians is very long. Romans is very long. The other ones were smaller letters. But he wrote this letter to the Christians at Rome. So every once in a while, the elders the last couple years have been throwing out some challenges. We've been throwing out some challenges to get involved in Bible studies. So whether it's a small group Bible study, whether it's a one-on-one Bible study, but we've been trying to throw that out there periodically. And the reason we see that that is necessary is severalfold. One, because we realize that believers are struggling to connect with believers. Christians struggling to get together with other Christians to grow together and to learn together. We've been studying in Sunday school about the American gospel, the gospel that's being twisted and changed to satisfy self and not glorifying to God. But you know what? That's everywhere. False teaching was prevalent in the New Testament. When the church began, it's prevalent today. But we need to know how to identify it and have answers for those questions. So getting together and learning and struggling through the Word of God is really important. You know, we might have believers that have failed spiritually or morally, and maybe they need a fellow believer to come alongside them to walk them through and help them through some of these difficulties. There's all kinds of reasons why we think this is important. So we've been throwing this challenge out there. And, you know, some respond, some don't. And I understand sometimes we're too busy, and sometimes in life we're too busy, and other times we're not quite as busy. But some of you also might be sitting there thinking, you know what? I want to get involved with this. Okay, I don't know how to study Scripture. I don't know how to walk with God. I would like to get together with somebody so we could have a lot of different responses to this. So I want you to repeat after me. God wants to do a work in us before he can do a work through us. He wants to do a work through us, but first of all, he wants to work on our heart. And it's really important that we allow God to work in our heart. You are where God wants you to be. You're with the people working. If you're retired, you're where he wants you to be, with neighbors. Larry's doing an awesome thing. He's interacting with elderly and delivering meals. Each of us, God has put us where he wants us for a purpose and a reason, with our neighbors, our friends, the person you interact with. You get gas, the same gas station, I bet you frequently, interacting with those folks. We're where God wants us to be. So what I want to do today, I want to look at verses 1 through 17. We're not going to dive deep into this. There's no way that we could possibly cover that many verses this morning. But I do want to read through this, and hopefully we'll get an understanding of why this letter was written. So let's pray, and then let's dive into these verses. Father, I pray that you would give me wisdom this morning, give me words that are your words, and God, I just pray that we would grow together as we look into this, and just thank you for those that have been praying for the Browns and also for me sharing this morning, and I just pray you bless our time together. In Christ's name, amen. So let's read through this. I'm reading out of the NIV. So Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Long passage. So, whenever we dive into Scripture, we need to ask ourselves, why was this written, of course, but how do we find those things out? You know, one way is to get together with mature believers and have a study and dig in to see what they know, what they have learned. But another way is to, there are good resources out there. There's commentaries. I have two commentaries at home. One is a general commentary, and I have some other ones that are very specific. I have some of John MacArthur's commentaries on Romans and Corinthians. They are very, very, very detailed, and they take a long while to work through. But both of those are beneficial. But we have resources to help us. And of course, if we're believers in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit to help us understand these things. So we do have resources. But before I go any further here, I want to tell you a little story. So In the mid-90s, Laurel and I moved back to Clearfield. If you guys, some of you remember that you were around at that time, but there was a young man sitting back close to where Connie was sitting, and he had a broken leg. And as we would interact each Sunday, his name was BJ, and BJ and I began to talk, and we developed a friendship. So eventually that expanded, and we would do things outside of church, and I found out quickly that BJ was hungry to learn. He was hungry to learn about the Lord, and he would ask me questions. And I would have to say that I wasn't real good about using scripture and discipling people at that point, but he would ask me questions, and we'd have great conversations. We would ride to camp. I'd say, BJ, I'm going to camp. Want to go with me? Rode along. We talked the whole time. He was out there helping me, and he would ask questions there, but I share that because God impressed something upon me to show me that we need to be purposeful with people. And whenever we spend time, a lot of times God can use those relationships. And that doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to connect with everybody that you encounter here. But sometimes God weaves those relationships together. Okay, but we do need to interact. So coming back to Romans, there's several things here why Paul wrote this letter. Okay, so he wrote this letter for reasons here. So we found out in verses 9 through 11 that he longed to visit these believers. So up to this point, there was no apostles that had visited this church. Okay, the way we understand it, the way I studied from the commentaries, the Christians had been pushed out of Rome. A lot of them probably became believers at Pentecost. And eventually, through time, they made it back there. Priscilla and Aquila were mentioned in this letter, and they were really strong believers that helped some of these Christians. So somehow, they were also integrated into the believers here. So, but Paul wanted to meet these believers. So he was excited. You can see that. Hey, I long to meet with you. I want to impart to you some spiritual gift. And he also said, I want to be encouraged while I encourage you. So we can see that intense desire to be there. Also, that flows through this letter, you're going to see that there is a, if you want to call it a struggle, maybe some tension between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. So if you think about the history of the Gentiles and the Jews, okay, the Jewish people look down upon the Gentiles because the history of that is that the Israelites were God's people. It was the Hebrews, and then they were called the Israelites, and eventually they were called the Jews. But throughout history, they knew that they were God's people, and there was a pride that developed. So you think about this, that pride can filter into a church. So Paul, as he's addressing these believers, these Christian Jews, could be looking down on the Gentile Christians. Okay, so Paul's going to address that. He's going to say, listen, you are all sinful people. We are all sinful people that deserve God's wrath. And yet, he sent Jesus Christ to us. We are all the same. We are all sinners who deserve God's wrath, but that salvation is for all. So he explains that, and it's a weaving all through here, especially the first couple chapters, and then he comes back to it. So one of the biggest themes here is down in verses 16 and 17. So this introduction was very long. It's not like Corinthians. It's not like Ephesians and Galatians. They were a little bit more compact and quick because Paul had never visited these believers before. So he was spending some time building rapport with them. In the first five verses, he says, hey, I'm Paul. This is who I am. It's quite possible a lot of these believers heard of him, but now he's saying, hey, this is Paul. I'm the Apostle Paul, who was saved, and they probably know that story, okay? And then he gets down in to build more rapport with them, okay? Hey, I long to meet you. I can't wait to see you. I've been praying for you. So you can see how this is long, okay? And there's a reason for that. But when we get down to verses 16 and 17, we see the bam. Here's going to be the major theme that Paul's going to address here. So let's read verse 17 again. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. This letter that Paul wrote here to the church is his greatest explanation, a most in-depth explanation of how to become a Christian. Okay, he's explaining that we need Jesus Christ because we are sinful people. Okay? And he takes a long time to explain this, and he spends a long time, the first few chapters, sharing how wicked we are and how we need Jesus Christ. So it's his best and deepest explanation of salvation. Okay, now, having heard that, you know, if you've never studied Romans before, wouldn't that be helpful? Okay, so I have another story. About the time that BJ and I met each other, I started taking classes at Lock Haven. A lot of you know I'm a health and phys ed teacher. So I was commuting back and forth, and one day I walked into the student union building. I don't even remember what it's called, but I walked in there, and there it was club sign-up day. A lot of clubs, I was like, ooh, man, that looks pretty strange. But over here was a man sitting all by himself with his Bible. And I walked over there and was talking with him, and I found out he was the Baptist pastor at the Lock Haven Church. So we were talking, and he said, hey, do you want to have a Bible study with me this semester? And I was like, yeah, I think I could do that. So this man took me through the book of Galatians, just he and I. Now, I just got done in 92 at Geneva with a youth ministry degree, and I went through Romans, and I went through James, and I had some other Bible classes, but this was different. This was a man that was taking an interest in me to walk me through some scripture, and we had an awesome relationship and connection there. And I learned from my classes, and I loved them, but this was different. It was on a one-on-one level. It was very beneficial, and it made a big impression on me. So the Bible is more understandable than what we think. You know, sometimes we could read through, like, that intro had a lot of doctrine in it. You know, if you'd pick this up and read through that, you'd be like, wow, what is this all about? Son of David, he's a descendant of David. What's he talking about, all this? You get down to where it says the Greeks and non-Greeks. What's he talking about? So it can be confusing, but if we have guidance and direction, and if we start to learn and read Scripture a little bit at a time, God starts to mold it together. You know, when you spend years of reading Scripture, then you might read that and you're like, descendant of David. Oh, yeah, I remember reading that in the Old Testament. I know that Jesus was supposed to come from David's line. Okay? So we start to piece these things together and we realize how awesome God's Word is. But you know, even though I'm trying to encourage us to get into God's Word, and God wants us to read His Word, but that's how we're going to get to know Him and realize how much He loves us. God also wants to have that meaningful relationship with us. You know, He wants to be in a level where you can pray and talk with Him, and He can share what He wants to share in His Word, and you can share your heart with Him. He desires that, and He also wants us to fall in love with Him because He loved us first, and obey Him. Obey Him because we love Him. So as we read God's Word, it's supposed to change us inside, and it will. As we said earlier, He wants to do a work inside of us first before He does something through us. So as we go back to Romans, so how do we know that he was writing to Christians? That's important. Who's he writing to? Verses 6 and 7. You are also among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Do you know that you're a saint? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're a saint. Isn't that awesome to know? And we are called many things in Scripture. The one thing, if we have faith in Jesus Christ, we are called saints. So he's writing to believers here. So what did Paul want to do? So part of when we study this, what did he want to do? We mentioned it a little bit earlier in verses 11 and 12. He wanted to spend time with them. So it says here, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but I've been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among other Gentiles. So he wanted to meet them, and he wanted to be able to impart to them, he calls it a spiritual gift. Now we know, looking at other scriptures, that the Holy Spirit, when we become believers, he gives us spiritual gifts. And part of being in the body of Christ in learning and growing is to try to find out what those spiritual gifts are and to use them. So as Paul's writing here, he's not really meaning that, okay, because that's the Holy Spirit's gift. But what Paul's intentions are here is that I want to spend time with you to help you learn to walk with God. Okay, maybe they didn't know how to do this or do that. Maybe they didn't know how to disciple. They didn't know how to evangelize. Maybe they didn't know what communion was all about and sharing communion, the Lord's Supper. There was other things. I'm sure there was all kinds of things. You can imagine the things that we learn at church, growing up in church, that these folks needed to learn that. And they're blending Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians together. So his desire was to help them grow and to mutually encourage each other. So his purpose with this. So just like I'm trying to do right now, trying to encourage you in these things, hopefully you're going to benefit from it, but it's also a benefit for me because I have to spend time looking at this and trying to study to see what it says and understand it. So we both benefit from all this. And whenever we have fellowship together, we both benefit out of that. So, First Baptist, and those that might be listening from outside the church, those of you that are mature believers in Christ, is this your heart? As Paul is explaining and sharing his heart here, to long to be with these believers, is this your heart? Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're like, I want that. I want to be a part of that. Is there a mature believer that will rally around me? I want to grow. I want to learn. I want to know what it's like to walk with Christ. Okay, I don't know how to study Scripture. Will somebody that's a mature believer rally around me? We probably have both in this congregation. Those that are listening, you interact with people all the time. So if you're listening and tuning in here and you don't have a church that you go to and you don't have anybody to share the Word of God, stop by, see Pastor, see us and visit us, and let's connect. You know, I've had a lot of blessings in my life. As I look back from a worldly perspective, a lot of great things have happened to me. I've always been involved with very good athletic teams, have had good coaches, I've had very good success with that. You know, I look back and think when I was 15 years old, I had an experience of hitting a grand slam to win a baseball game. That was cool. That was really awesome. And when I was a senior in high school, we won the district championship game. I pitched 11 innings of that game. That was really awesome to be a part of that. And so many other things. You could probably list things. But you know what? Nothing compares to when I would meet with that young man, BJ, and spend time with him to help him along. Even though I didn't really know how to do it real well then, and I can't say that I'm perfect at it now, but I've learned a lot. And when I stare into the eyes of 30 to 50 teenagers at West Branch, when we're doing Fellowship of Christian Athletes events, playing badminton, and we're playing flag football, and I get to stare in their eyes and share Jesus Christ with them. That is the greatest thing on this earth that I can do. And spend time with Bible studies with guys. I absolutely love it. That far exceeds anything that I've done to enjoy in my life. So how about you? Where are you at? Is this an interest of you? Whether to get involved, maybe you want to, you think you could lead a Bible study. I know. I know there's believers in this church that have been believers for a long time that you are capable of doing this. Okay? Maybe you need some encouragement, some instruction, but we know it's possible. But you know what? It's time. It's time that we step out and do these things. They are so important in our world today and in our church, in our health of our churches. It is so, so needed that we have capable, mature believers working with younger believers. And that's what God tells us to do. The mature men should be teaching younger men and mature women teaching younger women. We need to be doing these things. So in 30 minutes or less this morning, I just gave you the introduction to study the book of Romans and to read it and help you understand it a little bit better. There's a lot of doctrine in this book. It's detailed, but it's a good study. So if you're not involved in a men's study, men, Thursday nights, 6:30, we're on, this will be week, I think, 4, that we've had a study there. We're diving into this book, so you're welcome to join us. But also, we've had a challenge here this morning. We've had a challenge to get involved, okay, whether us teaching or maybe us being a part of that. But the last thing I want to say is, what is our vision for Christ? What is our vision for Christ? Do we have a vision for Christ personally? Do we have one as a church? Is that about making disciples of Jesus Christ? I hope it is, because that's what Jesus left us with before he left this earth, about making disciples. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the chance to stand here this morning and to introduce the book of Romans. God, it is a great book, and we thank you for Paul, and we thank you for reaching down out of heaven and loving him and saving him as he persecuted Christians and hated Christians and wanted to wipe us out. God, you changed him. And what a perfect example of taking a man who was walking in deep sin, and you've changed his heart. And now he is one of the most prolific writers of the New Testament, and you've used him greatly. And God, we just pray that you would help us as we continue to help the gospel grow, that you give us boldness, you give us courage. God, if nothing else, that we would get into your word and that we would take it seriously and we would read it. And one of the most important things that we can do to disciple is to disciple our own family and teach our kids how to walk with God and how to reach into the Bible and pull out these truths. God, I just pray that you would teach us, show us. I pray that we would be a church that is about that and hungering for that, that you would create that in us and work your spirit through us. And we thank all this in Christ's precious name. Amen.